when you're talking to someone, do you feel like you drift off? Maybe you're having conversations every now and then, and your mind just wanders into a different universe? From the SkyTerra Wellness Retreat, this is the Inspired Intentions Podcast, where we help people build the skills and mindset to live a healthy life. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and if you're ready to be in the moment, this is not the episode to miss. We are diving into part two on acting methods and how they can help us all be better communicators. We're diving into part two of our three-part series all about communication, today discussing how to be present. After our main segment, we'll get your focus right for the rest of the week. Up first, Alan, with your listener Q&A.
Thanks, Jeff. Listeners, today's Q&A is going to be a little bit different. You guys have been really awesome about sending us questions in, or even listeners here on campus have been asking me face-to-face. And me and Jeff have a whole stack that we're going to work through over the next few weeks. However, today, I actually wanted to take the time during our Q&A to just say congratulations. But the real question is who to? If you all are fanatic Inspired Intentions listeners, you know that in episode 125, we had a really nice, awesome conversation with long-term SkyTerra guest and friend, Kristen. Kristen has become a fanatic hiker. She hikes with me all the time when she's here on campus. I've even sent her out on multiple more advanced hikes, even outside of her time at SkyTerra, to train for a little adventure that I may or may not have helped convince her to do, which was hike Kilimanjaro. And lo and behold, a couple weeks ago, I got some amazing pictures of her on the summit of Kilimanjaro. Kristen, when you hear this from all the SkyTerra staff, congratulations. That was not an easy task, but I bet that view from the top was absolutely incredible. I'm also super jealous of all the air balloon pictures and wildlife you're seeing in Africa, and I can't wait to hear about your story when you get back. And next week, guys, we will be back to our normal scheduled question and answer. If you have a question for the Inspired Intentions podcast, please shoot me an email at inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. I'll pull all the resources that we have here on campus and get your question answered right here on the podcast. Now, enjoy the rest of the show.
Episode number two, communication. We are back here to discuss why it's important to be present and how acting methods can help you be more present with your communication with those people who are important to you in your life.
Yeah, how it can help you with your relationships.
Yeah. So, Carrie, you are the subject matter expert, and I would love to hear what gets in the way of someone being present when they're communicating.
I think the biggest thing that gets in the way of someone being present when they're communicating on stage or in life is being in the past or being in the future.
No way. I actually jotted that down before we got on air. Because like I'm always around people and I'm like thinking about what I have to do.
Yep.
Or I'm thinking about, man, this happened 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And we're never like just there, right?
Absolutely. And the answer to what's next is almost always what's directly in front of you.
Ooh, like say that again.
I don't know if I can. The answer to what is next is almost always what is directly in front of you.
That's great.
Yeah.
So last episode, we talked about primarily about breath, of course, and using that body scan as a way. Would you say, Carrie, just to kind of tie episode number one into this topic, breath helps you be present?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think the first step to being present, and it's why it's part of every single acting warm-up that I've ever done, any teacher that I've ever had, any class that I've ever taught, I always start and have always been started with some sort of a tension addition, tension release. Go through the body and see where you're holding tension. So absolutely, you can notice sort of where you are that day based on where you might be holding tension. Mm. So if you are really worried about, let's say you're really worried about finances, Well, a lot of that financial stress is going to be found in your belly, and it's going to be found down in your pelvic floor. And so if you're worried about that, maybe you're holding a lot of tension there, and maybe that's what you need to let go. And then if you let go of that, you can say, aha, I have this tension here right now in this moment, aka the present. And in letting that go, or even just becoming aware of it, all of a sudden you are much more in the room that you are in. You're with the person who is across from you. In a way that maybe you wouldn't have been if you hadn't brought that awareness to the body.
So what I'm hearing is, if we don't pay attention and remove the tension first, then it's very difficult to be in that moment with that person in that situation.
Very much so, because usually our tension is related to something in the past or in the future. Very seldom is our tension related to something in the present. You know, if you are worried about finances, if you're worried about grades, if you are worried about if you're going to have time to grocery shop, you are thinking about something that doesn't exist right now.
Something that's not even happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's just going to get in your way. And there is that broad overgeneralization that I know isn't, you know, hard and fast, but a lot of times when you are trapped or stuck dealing with something that is already past, it is oftentimes the root of depression.
Yeah.
And if you are very concerned about the future and living in the future and something that hasn't happened yet, it's almost directly tied to anxiety.
Yeah.
But if you can sort of let the present exist without being too hampered by either the past or the future, there's actually a lot of peace there, even if you're doing something challenging or stressful, if you just deal with the thing in front of you.
Yeah. You raise an incredible point, because we all can have feelings of depression on a daily basis. We can have feelings of anxiety. And it sounds like a lot of that can be rooted in not being present in those moments. And this can happen on such a small level, but when I think it happens on like a large level, your communication's off. You don't show up as that same person that you want to show up as. And I love how you've linked it to kind of that wellness piece, that paradigm of, you know, depression, anxiety, and being present in the middle is where we can improve both of those feelings.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, it sounds like, of course, we know how important being present is for yourself, in terms of avoiding depression, anxiety as much as possible. But how does that help you in your relationships and communicating with other people in your life?
Well, again, if you're really in the room, not just physically, but also mentally, with whoever you're dealing with, you can actually deal with them as opposed to worrying about what's happening an hour from now, what happened an hour ago, even if it's with the same person. You cannot be fully available to someone if you are writing your grocery list. You just can't.
I think when you think about like work meetings and everyone's got their computer out and things like that, you know, it's those small behaviors that might be happening in a group or even one-on-one that we don't realize they make such a harmful impact.
Yes.
And when you use this phrase like stay in the room mentally, you could maybe take this from an acting perspective too. How do you help your actors stay in the room mentally?
That is a really, really great question. One thing that I learned from a different teacher and that I've applied in my classrooms is just to give yourself a physical cue for when you've left the building.
I like that.
You know, and the teacher that I had, we were working and they said, at any point in time where you are not present, as you continue to work, and it was a physical theater class, so we were on our feet, we were moving around, and he said, if I'm talking to you, if you're moving around, if you're in the middle of an exercise with a partner, it does not matter, just raise your hand if you've left the room.
Whoa.
And the minute you raise your hand, you actually, he's like, don't think that you're going to be a distraction, don't think you're going to get in the way of things, raise your hand, because the minute you raise your hand and you acknowledge you've left, you're back. So you can sort of boil that down to something much smaller. I mean, maybe if you're in a meeting and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to raise my pinky. My hands are on my lap and I'm going to raise my pinky when I leave the room. And if I raise my pinky, then all of a sudden I'm back in the room. I've acknowledged that I've left, and the acknowledgement of having left has brought me back.
So you're saying if we can acknowledge physically, it almost helps us come back mentally?
100%.
That makes tons of sense.
In the middle of this acting class, did that work for you?
100%. And it was interesting too, because at the beginning of the class, I mean, it was just like every couple of, maybe not even minutes, maybe it was every couple of seconds. It was, you know, 14 of us, and a hand would go up and a hand would go up, and they stopped going up by the end of the class.
Ooh, I just got chills.
You know, it's like training yourself to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can train yourself to be present. You can have those moments where you say, I've left.
Mm-hmm.
I've left. And one thing, if I'm going to put it in acting terms that I think translate really well to life, is really and truly, you can only play one thing at a time.
100.
You know, it's like if you're on stage, you can't be flirting, nourishing, and protecting all of the same. You can't do it.
Yeah, and that's not scripted out either.
No, right?
Like no one's going to write a play like that.
No. You know, if your playwright understands dramatic action and the idea of playing action, right, to act, a lot of people think of actors as like people who like wallow in feeling. Those are always the worst actors. Actors, right, the root word, I love a root word, is to act. It is to do something. And to do something is, right, like, elbows deep, I'm doing this thing. I cannot do three things at the same time.
And I don't think that's dissimilar from how we want to show up in our relationships.
No.
I mean, nobody wants to be talking to someone and they're completely distracted.
Correct.
Yeah.
If I could just give an example, I actually had the pleasure of seeing Carrie in a play over the weekend, and I'm surprised it took me to episode 2 to bring this up because she was phenomenal. I saw her in Appropriate at the Warehouse Theater in Greenville, South Carolina, Jeff, with your lovely wife, Lindsay.
Yep, I had the day to myself. It was epic. It was so cool. Father's Day.
Anyhow, one of the many things that amazed me about Carrie's performance is even when she wasn't talking, I was watching her, and she was still acting. She was listening as her character. She was sitting as her character. She was moving around as her character. And this was a long play. It was almost 3 hours.
Yes, an easy 2.5. Yeah.
Were there intermissions?
One 15-minute intermission.
How was the snack bar?
We did not. We just
you didn't
go
to the snack bar. Okay. No, I just want a little more detail.
The Warehouse Theater has a lovely snack bar.
Perfect. We need to give the Warehouse Theater a shout out.
Offering coffee, wine, beer, sodas, various nuts and candy bars.
But that, you know, I think hearing you talk about Carrie, about being present, you know, being one person on stage, just you did that. And so,
Thank you. You
know, that. We can take that. We can take that into our regular lives too, which is, you're right. You can't be three different kinds of people in one moment.
You can't.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Rachel
and Avery
from your favorite marketing team.
At SkyTerra, you have options. Whether you're seeking a healthy vacation or you have more specific goals in mind, we're here to help.
Whether you choose our traditional wellness program or Lose Smart, our 4-week sustainable weight loss program, your investment in your health includes everything you need.
You get access to more than 80 classes, lectures, and experiences every week. Our culinary team will rock your taste buds.
Rock your taste buds.
3 meals a day. And you have your own private accommodations so you can relax in peace and prepare for the next day's adventures.
When you come to SkyTerra for Lose Smart, you get all of that and private and small group coaching to make sure you leave SkyTerra with your goals achieved.
No matter what you choose, we cannot wait to see you.
So in terms of solutions, we have talked about that hand raising activity. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you do to stay present, either on stage or that you tell your students to do?
One of the things that is always interesting to me when I'm on stage in those moments, specifically when I'm not talking, And it's easy to be really, really present when you're the one talking, right? Because it's all about you in some ways. But to stay present when someone else is speaking, again, if you catch yourself listening to someone and you're clenched fist, let them go. Let them, what are you worried about? Just listen to somebody talk, you know? But you can, perhaps even more importantly, practice presence when you're not speaking.
That might be like the best time to practice too, right?
Right, because then if we're talking about communication, that is, yes, when you're communicating ideas, sure, you are having ideas come from you and you're sending them out into the universe, hopefully to receptive ears. But the gift that you can give someone in really being present to listen to them, and also recognizing that when you open yourself up to what someone else is saying, there's probably a gift in it for you too. Yeah. And what I always say to my acting students is, you know, you're a lot, okay, a lot of students always worry about, well, how do I learn my lines? And I'm like, okay, well, that's like the first thing. And that's really not part of the craft. That's just a technique. You have to do that before you can really act.
Base level.
Yeah. That's like, if you're having a hard time memorizing lines, I'm worried about you. But that sense of, okay, get your lines down. Yes, know what you're doing when you're communicating with someone, but opening up and just really listening to someone and realizing probably the best tactic once you know your lines. See, knowing your lines when you're sitting in a room by yourself is very different from knowing your lines when you're on stage with other people. But once you know them in a room by yourself, I would guarantee you that for the most part of your work, you are going to have that line come back to you with more ease if you are truly listening, not bracing and waiting for your turn, but really listening to your partner and figuring out, my answer was in you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I can relate to this a lot. You know, giving 5 to 6 talks a week upstairs, the coolest part is when you feel the flow from the room.
Yes.
And it's the pause moments, you know, you become very focused on what you want to share. And yet when someone connects with it in a different way than you, I feel like if the presenter is being present, then that allows that perspective to shine through and to take the conversation in a direction that wasn't planned, where, you know, I give the same conversation every single week.
Right.
And it's never the same conversation when the pause moments are there and it's presence from everybody in the room as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And as an actor, I always tell my students, like, I don't want this to happen to you, but at some point in your acting career, it will, where you are on stage and your mind goes, that was purposeful quiet. It goes blank.
Thank you, Carrie.
And I say to them, if you want to know what being present in a moment feels like, forget your lines in front of an audience. All your pores open up. Everything becomes so present tense, and you are so concerned about this very moment. And usually with the rehearsal process, you're able to recover in some way, shape, or form. But I'm like, I don't want it to happen to you, but it will at some point. And you will never understand the present moment more than when the thing you've rehearsed
isn't there,
disappears for a second.
Yeah.
And so then you know what it feels like. And then you think about, okay, well, how do I recreate this with a little more control over it?
Yeah.
So has that happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish it hadn't. But even in the run of Appropriate, during a speech last week, I just hit a spot, and it's a thing, a speech that I'd said so many times before. And just the next words just weren't there. And I said, I don't know. I just don't know. And I stayed in character and I stayed present in the moment that I was sharing between myself and my acting partners. And I looked at them and I'm like, these are the faces. These are the body shapes. This is the set. I've been in this room before. All this stuff is in my brain. And it came back to me. And it's because I didn't go, and just freeze, right? I kept breathing. I stayed in character. I stayed within the moment. And it came back.
Wow.
And mind you, it felt like a Grand Canyon of a pause.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. You know, I didn't add 4 minutes to the play or anything like that. But again, never have I felt more present because I had to fix something in the present. So those moments where everything feels like it's going wrong, and that you feel like you're just in triage mode and you're trying to fix something, in some ways it can really be a gift and a blessing because your body is learning what being right now means. It's just like, you know, if you're doing something and then you slam your finger in a car door, you've never been more present. And you suddenly realize like, oh, wow, I wasn't present at all because that's why I slammed my finger in the car door because I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. So being able to refocus, and it's much better to just like lift your pinky off your knee than slam your finger in a car door. Mm-hmm. So
usually.
Right. The practice is really helpful so you don't get the car door.
Well, that perspective's quite powerful when you think about it with this life example is looking at all of the things coming at you and all the things you're thinking about as kind of warning signals that you are being reminded to stay in the moment and to actually be present. Because I think the more things on your plate and the more things that, you know, are in your future, it's like when change occurs.
Yep.
You start thinking about X, Y, and Z that hasn't even happened. And that's where the focus is just off with like the day to day. And yet you're saying it's an absolute gift when you're able to recognize that, hey, I did actually just slam, closed that door on my finger and now it really hurts.
Yeah. And how do I not do that again?
Yeah.
And you can change nothing in the past and you can make nothing happen in the future. The only impact you have is right now.
I think we should stop right there.
Yeah, that was gold.
Yeah. And I see this so much in coaching. Like our past does not predict our future. And our future hasn't even become yet.
No.
So
we shape it now.
We shape it now. Exactly. And so can you say that line one more time? Because what you're basically saying is that if and when we focus on the present, that then paves the way for like what will change in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was the line? This is an actor moment for me.
So what we're doing right now is what creates what happens in the future.
Be in the present.
And do one thing at a time.
Carrie, thank you again for being here with us today. Listeners, if you have not yet listened to the first episode in this series, go back and listen to it. It is also pure gold. It's on the importance of breath. And stick around next week for our third episode in this series on the importance of listening, and stick around right now for the 5-minute focus.
You must be sick of it. I know that our executive producer, Alan Broyhill, is so sick of it. Every time I reference a new book on the 5-Minute Focus. But I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway today, because I just finished up a super quick and impactful read called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. I think it was a guest who actually told me about this book in the first place. So, to kick things off, let me ask you a question. If you were given a choice between taking $3 million in cash this very instant, or taking a single penny that doubles in value every day for 31 days, which would you choose? Take a second, think about it. You don't want to get this wrong. I mean, choosing the cash sounds awesome, and it would immediately make a difference in your life. But by choosing the penny, the growth improvement each day might surprise you. It would actually compound to being worth $10,737,418.24 on day 31. More than three times if you were to choose that $3 million. As Darren Hardy states, very few things are as impressive as the magic
of compounding pennies. Amazingly, this force is equally powerful in every area of your life. It is so interesting. For many of us, we have been successful in certain areas of our lives directly because of the compound effect. And yet, we fail to apply this kind of execution thinking to the other areas of our life, especially the area where we might be struggling. I say it every week in our habit talks, consistency beats out duration, always. If you want to build habits so that you can reach a destination, consistency is what's going to take you there. So what can you do this week? Well, be careful and remind yourself that profound, lasting success is always the result of three actions. One, small, smart choices completed consistently over time. Two, effort and lots of hard work. And three, done through a continuum of mundane, unsexy, unexciting, and sometimes difficult daily disciplines, they compound over time. Sorry, not sorry, no secret sauce today. And yet, when you are able to understand this concept fully and apply it, your world will start to shift. Your life begins to change. And those routines that you never thought you'd groom become a part of your life. The last perspective to remember today is that sometimes people get to a certain level of success and get too comfortable. They stop doing what got them there in the first place. This is when you slip, fall back. Don't ever get too comfortable. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Carrie and you've learned how to be more present as you communicate and show up with the relationships and the people around you. This has been a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to EP Alan Broyhill. Don't forget, you can send us your questions for the Q&A segment of our show. We would be grateful to answer those on air for you, because I'm sure if you have a question, other listeners might have that same exact question. We look forward to having you join us next week as we continue to cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living can fit seamlessly into your already busy life. Get out there and communicate.